right. Last session when we were talking, if you want further information, in chapter 1, it talks about Ruth being a woman of reckless abandon. She did the crazy things because she was crazy in love with a God who crazy loved her back. Reckless abandon. The fifth chapter is, and the seventh chapter we talked about just a few minutes ago, being a woman of security, because we see Ruth being a woman of secure love, and because she was loved securely, she didn't have to go after the men, whether rich or poor. Because even a godly husband is not going to meet the deepest needs of your love life. Sorry, it's not going to happen. Why? Because we were created for a God kind of love, and we need to interact with him and know him personally and walk with him personally. And then that godly husband is going to be just the cream on top of the frappe. He's not the thing. God's the thing. All right. Secondly, today, now, we're going to talk about you've got mail. You've got mail. We're going to talk about chapter 5, being a woman of devotion. But I want you to write down, I'm going to give you 5 things at some point in this message that you can do every day in order to develop the kind of lifestyle we were talking about that Ruth exhibited. It's really hard, though. I'm not saying this was easy. I think Ruth worked hard, but she had a love relationship with God, and she kept that love relationship going, not just her eternal rightness with God, not just a biblical faith, but she had a daily response in relationship, not religion. So chapter 5 talks about that. Now, I want to tell you that talks about it in the book, Under Security, but there was a time in my life that I was in love. I had lollin and fuv bad. I was crazy about this guy. Now, it was really ironic that Dondi said about Johnny being at the mall and him not knowing her name yet. That was sort of the situation in this. I was in love with him. He had no idea I was on planet Earth. But I did everything in my power to make sure that that did not continue. I had a girlfriend who made sure I got a locker next to him. I manipulated and maneuvered and worked, and I cried myself to sleep at night when I ran out of ideas. And finally, the day came when he noticed me. He finally noticed me. It is me. He knows my name. I'm in love. It is love. He's the greatest, and he knows my name. Now, I got him on the rebound, but I still had him saying my name and calling me. And he would call me and talk to me. Of course, it was about his past girlfriend, but that's all right. He was calling me. He knew my number and called me. I loved it. He sat next to me in one of the classes. I was in love. It was over. He was it. I was totally distracted, totally couldn't think about anything else but the fact that this guy liked me. Well, one of the things that happened is one day we had a great big pep rally at our school. How many of you in here know anything about a pep rally? It's really noisy, lots of people there. All right, woo-hoo! So I was sitting down on the bleacher, and people started coming in. It was getting crowded, and I wanted, you know, I just wanted there to accidentally be some room beside me in case he came in. I was just a little detail. And so I sat on much more of the bleacher than I usually take up. And I was really, really, really trying to manipulate and maneuver because I was very insecure and I wanted somebody cool to like me and I wanted everybody to know about it. And I was just trying to whirl in my own world. It wasn't really making me feel happy, but I thought ultimately if he were to really like me and date me or spend time with me, that I would be happy. Because that is what the world says to you. It is not true, or we would have more of Hollywood happy. It is not true. But they do make a lot of money off of telling us it's true. It's not the truth. That guy is not going to satisfy. You still will be longing. until you find a worthy God to set your focus on and fall in love with him. But I wasn't there yet, and God was patient with me because I was his, and I had committed to him. But I also was committed to help God out and find somebody that looked good, you know? And so at that point, I was totally committed to God in my own world, doing my own thing, and he was very patient and loving with me because he let me do what it eventually hurt me. Because what happened is I sat really, really big on those bleachers, and then I noticed he came in the door over here. Now, women, they have 360-degree eyesight. We really can see all around us. And so I saw him come in out of the corner of my eye, but he didn't see me. It was really full at the time, and it was very confusing for him, and I know he needed some help. And God did too, because I couldn't trust that God would have him come sit over there. So I stood up and waved to an imaginary girlfriend. Had to delay a little bit till I noticed he noticed me. Then I sat back down. Okay, I don't advise it, but it's major manipulating and maneuvering to get a guy. Okay, so I sat down, and I sat down little. It didn't take much room for me. And he came up to me. He says, "Is there a seat next to you?" Oh, well, my goodness. Oh, yes, there happens to be one there. Whoops. Now, I made one mortal mistake. I didn't look who was sitting next to me. And it was Terry Sykes. I remember her name perfectly. The girl with the perfect hair and the skin that's never seen any Clearasil or cover up or anything like that. And the eyelashes that flutter. And when they flutter, the guy's hair flies back. You haven't seen it in any movies, but it happens. She was sitting next to me. And she leaned over and said, "Who's your friend?" And I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I made sure I didn't know what she was talking about. And I sat like this. And then she goes, "Hello." And he goes, "Oh, I didn't notice you." I go, "Exactly. You didn't notice her. You weren't supposed to notice her." And they began talking. Well, you all know what happened. He stopped calling me. And he started calling her. And I was broken. My heart was broken. And I knew God loved me. But that was for later, you know? That was for when I go to heaven. What about now when I'm in high school? Where's God? So I went home, and I was really, 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 really getting ready for a major pity party. I announced to my family, "I'll never eat again." Well, that was after I ate that half gallon of Heavenly Hash ice cream. You have to have energy for a pity party. Then I went into my bedroom, and of course, for drama, I slammed the door. Now, what do you take to a good pity party? Tell me. Chocolate? Yes. Even though you've sworn off food, there are little Debbie cakes under the mattress. Yes. Okay, what else? Old love letters so you can read over them and weep. Poetry. You know, especially your own, it really makes you cry. Tissues, lots of tissues. How about romantic music that just kind of sends you over the edge? Mm-hmm. Photographs and all the stuffed animals you've ever gotten at the fair. It doesn't really matter if a guy gave them to you or not, you know, but you put them out there as like, yeah, I got them from guys, lots of guys. Photos that you can rip up if he's in the picture. Yep. That's what you take into a pity party. But this pity party was a little different from some of the other. I had been walking with the Lord and spending time with the Lord. And I knew this was my love letters. And I took these in with me too. And I sat there in those few minutes. And I began to cry. And I mean, I worked up a good one. I needed every single one of those boxes of Kleenex. And I began to cry. And I began to say, "God, why have you let this happen to me? Everybody's happy. Everybody has a boyfriend. Everybody is content. You do stuff for, I'm not asking to get married. I just want a boyfriend. Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. Please help me here. I'm dying. My heart is broken." And I began to cry. And I cried and I cried and I cried and I blamed God and I said, "This is so not fair, so not fair. Terry could have anybody. Why'd she turn that way?" I had manipulated and maneuvered perfectly, God. It was a setup. You could have just smoothed the way for me. And have you ever cried so much that you kind of get to the place where you go, well, I got to that point, I went, and after I was through telling God how bad it was, as if he doesn't know, he spoke to my heart. You see, I had been reading in Psalms, and he said, I love you. And I said, yeah, I know, God, I know you love me, but this is really hard, and I don't feel very loved. And I said, why does this always happen to me? Why is my heart always being broken? Why do I always come back to this same old place? And God showed me a word picture. Debbie, I created your heart to be loved and cherished, cared for, adored, protected, taken care of. All those words that you see in every chick flick, just what the girl wants there. All of us are alike. They have that part right in Hollywood. There's a yearning. And I said, yes, God, yes, that's the way my heart needs. That's exactly what I need. What's his name and number? I'll call him. No, Debbie, you don't quite understand yet. Nobody here on earth can give you that. Nobody. You see, what you've done is, by manipulating and maneuvering, I was in your life, but I didn't have rights to your love life. I didn't have rights to your heart. And so what you did is, you saw a guy that you thought could be trusted, and you just ripped off a little piece. Not much, just a little piece. And you handed it to him. And then that didn't work out, so it broke your heart. And you came and you complained, and you said, why did you do this, God? And then you said, I'll never do that again. I will never be hurt like that again. Isn't that what we say, women? When we're hurt or disappointed, and it doesn't have to be about a guy. It can be a job promotion. That one thing that's going to make the difference in your life, a child. I want to have a baby. Whatever it is we're desiring to fill up the love needs inside us, that's what this is that takes our heart away. But in my case at that moment, I said, I'll never let that happen again. So I was much more cautious. It only took maybe 2 days before I fell in love with somebody else again. And I gave him a piece of my heart. And then I said, okay, I swear off. I hate guys. You see, we get real bitter. We get real defensive and real protective. But we're really lying a lot. Because as soon as the next guy says, Debbie, I really like you. Oh, man, you get a big hump. And then you find out he's dating somebody else. And you're ripped to smithereens, and it just keeps happening. And every time you go back in and you cry and you start taping your heart together. Now, I don't have any scotch tape with me here. But would this look the same if I scotch taped it together? No, but you know what? If I scotch taped it together today, what would it look like? You see, God created our hearts to be tender and delicate and easily broken, needing protection, needing to be adored, needing to be loved. It's the way we're created. We can't say, I don't feel any of that. Well, you know, go ahead and say it if you want to. It doesn't really work very well. It is the way it is. It's the way we were created. We have a yearning to be loved and not rejected and not picked over and not left out. We have that yearning to not be rejected. God made us that way. When we tape over our hearts, though, it becomes hard and embittered, and we are not the same woman we used to be. And in those quiet moments, God said to me, Debbie, I don't want that for you. I didn't make you for that. You were created to be loved and adored and cared for tenderly. And I said, yes, I am. How do I do it? And he said, lay down those broken pieces and let me create in you a new, tenderly, easily broken heart. Let me mend the broken heart. But then don't save it for every guy you see promising the world, whether in your mind or reality. Instead, give me the key to your love life. Let me love you first, and then trust me to bring that right person into your life, if I will, But until then, I'm your husband, your maker. I'm your God. I'm one. And I thought, let's see. Let's rethink just a little bit here. I really do want to be married. I don't really hate guys. What I said before, we could just kind of delete that part. And he says, no, I understand. I also gave you a desire to have a relationship like that from the beginning. But will you trust me with your love life? And I said, I'm not going to know what to do. And he says, precisely. That's how you'll get to know me. I'll show you what to do. Will you give me the key to your love life? And I said, if you'll help me, I'll give you the key to my love life. And I'll let you be the God of my heart and who I fall in love with. Well, Psalm 16:11 is the verse that he gave me. It's my verse, my verse. And it says, Psalm 16:11 says, Debbie. Well, now, my Bible says Debbie because these are my love letters. Your love letters will say your name. But it says, Debbie, I will show you the path of life. In my presence is fullness of joy, and at my right hand are pleasures forever. In my presence, not in a boyfriend's presence, not in a husband's presence, in my presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forever. Something you cannot imagine. If you will risk it all and trust me, I promise you, not that I'll give you everything you want, but I'll meet the deepest needs of your heart, and from there you will be fully satisfied. Will you trust me? So it's going to be hard. You know why it's hard? Because in the beginning, things changed. You see, Eve was born. She was the first woman. And if you turn to Genesis, if you have Genesis, your Bibles with you, turn to Genesis 3. That's the first book of the Bible. Eve was created, and she came into this world perfectly reflecting holy God. She was perfect in every way. She had a husband. She never had to say, "Are you sure you love me?" She never, ever, ladies, had to say, "Does this outfit look good on me? Are you sure?" I mean, she didn't have any outfits. That had to have been heaven. It had to have been heaven on earth to not worry about what you look like. She never had to say, "Am I loved?" Because she walked with love during the day. She was encased in love. She was adored by her husband passionately and intimately. And she walked just as passionately and intimately with God. And then one day, we only really hear about one day. The Bible doesn't try to tell the whole story. It tells what happened, and we know about one day. But how many days before that had she entertained thoughts? You see, God is like us. We're created in his image in that he does not want us to have to love him. I mean, what good's that? How would it be if my husband came in and said, "Hi, Debbie, I love you. Have to. Read it in the Bible today. Hope you appreciate it. Won't hear it much." How would that be? Or how would it be, "This is my wife. I married her. I had to. We don't really care about each other, but no choice. It was designed." We just cherish and want what God wants. We want somebody to choose us, to choose to adore us, to choose to be with us, to choose to spend time with us. And so God made one way that he would know Adam and Eve were going to love him because they wanted to. And that was one thing that they could not do. Tell me what it is. They could not eat of one tree. But where did they live? They lived in Eden. There were edible trees or edible fruit, or there were all the things they could ever want. Why was Eve sitting around that tree? Same reason when we have no money in the checkbook, we go to the mall. It's in us. She was sitting around investigating the tree, the no-no tree, the do-not-touch tree. It's not just a no-no tree. You know, when God asks us to live holy lives like Ruth was emulating, He is not doing that because he wants to rain on our parade. He is doing that because he is holy and he is love. And his love and passion for us is limited if we're unholy. We have a barrier between us and his love. So he does not want us to live unrighteously because then we have a barrier that keeps us from feeling loved by him. So the first woman, what does it say in chapter 3 that she did? Let's just read it for just a second. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? He just asked a question. But it wasn't just any question. It was a question about God's character. You can't trust him, Eve. You can't trust God. The same thing that bothers us today. Can I trust God? Can I? But she went to the wrong person to ask. If Eve had that day when she heard that stopped talking and just gone to God, he would have wrapped her in his arms and said, yes, I'm trustworthy, dear. I love you deeply. But she didn't go ask God. And you know what? She didn't go ask her husband either. You know, she probably thought just like we do. He didn't know anything anyway. I mean, I know everything. She didn't have a mom or a dad. She probably didn't go ask them because she probably thought they were too old-fashioned. What would they know? What I'm getting at here is she didn't stop and go to an authority on this. She made a decision. And in those moments, when she was fully loved, fully adored, fully cared for, fully reflecting God, she made a choice. I'll make a decision based on my own understanding. What does Proverbs tell us? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. But Eve made a decision. Just this one bite, just this one piece of fruit. Just nobody will ever know. It won't hurt. Listen, ladies, what I found out about myself, if I have to talk myself into doing something, I don't need to do it. If I have to convince my girlfriend, my roommates, or my family that it's okay, it's not okay. Why am I convincing everybody if it's okay? It's when we say it really won't matter. And Eve said, I've made a decision. I'm going for it. You know what? All of us in here went, oh no, she broke that good mirror. Didn't you? Why? I could have used that mirror. I like that mirror. She broke that. What do you think God felt when that happened? Suddenly, woman wouldn't know his love anymore. And immediately she feared. That's the first thing that happened. Our love receptors were broken and fear entered in because she hid herself. And we see later that God walks through the garden and he says, Adam, where are you? Now we're talking about an omnipresent, omniscient God who knows everything. Did God not know where they were? Had he lost them? No, he wanted Adam and Eve said, here I am. Here I am. I'm broken. Heal me. Forgive me. But they didn't. They blamed. They blamed it on each other. Wasn't me. I'm not broken. What do you mean, God, I'm broken? You see, we need to admit we're broken. Because when we admit we're broken and ask God to make things right through Jesus Christ living in us, the Holy Spirit puts on his gloves. And he says, I loved you. I loved you then. I love you now. But Debbie, you don't know what I've done. I don't have to. He loves you. God is love. He doesn't choose to love and turn it off. He just is love. It's up to you whether you receive it or not. Because when you allow Jesus Christ to come into your life and to be your Lord and Savior, and then you walk with him, his Holy Spirit gently says, let me take out the broken places. Let's us together work on this so that you can again reflect love. That's what the Bible story is about. We want to be loved. Why is it so hard? Because we're broken. But through daily allowing the Holy Spirit to remove the hard places in us and replace it with Jesus Christ, we again can walk in the garden with God. But we have to say, here I am, I'm broken, and I need you to change me into a woman who is worthy, a reflection of you. I need to face God. There are five things. I want you to write them down quickly. And they're in your devotion book. The first one, this is love relationship builder number one. You need to spend time with him. What do I mean? Yeah, you want to date somebody? You want somebody to love you and adore you and be with you? God's it. Sounds weird, doesn't it? You set aside a time to seek him. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. Somebody quote part of that for me. You know it immediately, some of you girls. What does it say? I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. But we forget the verse before it. Who knows the verse before it? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That allows the reflection of worthy to be in our lives, to seek him with all our hearts. I liked Bill Jones a lot. When he first asked me out, the first date he ever asked me out on, and we were in our 20s, and I lived with a couple single girls, and I had journaled. Most of what's in Lady in Waiting was in my journals about me wrestling with God over this, and him proving himself faithful every time, and enough every time. But when he first asked me out, he called me up, and he said, Debbie, I'd like to take you to the wildlife sanctuary. We lived in Florida. And he says, in the early morning when the birds come in, the seabirds come in, it's white all over, and I knew about this place. And as the sun rises, they begin to sing glory to God in the greatest way. And he said, I'd like you to go to the wildlife sanctuary with me, and let's watch the sunrise and listen to the seabirds give praise and glory to God, and maybe we can join the orchestra. That's what he invited me to do for the first date. And I went, whoa. Well, let's see. Let me check my calendar. No, I said, oh, that sounds good. When? I'll be there. And he says, how about if I pick you up at 5:30? And I said, in the morning? And he says, well, you know, that's when the sun rises, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I'll be up. I'll be up. I'll be ready. You know, we got a date set. Yes, 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 I want to do this. I walked out to my roommates, and they said, who was that? And I said, Bill Jones. And they went, oh, Bill Jones called you? And I said, yes. And he also wanted to ask me, and I explained the whole thing with probably a little more drama and excitement in it, and painted it a little clearer than even he did. And they said, oh, man, when are you going to go? And I said, 5:30 Saturday morning. And they said, 5:30 in the morning on Saturday? And I said, yes, that's when the sun rises, isn't it? And they said, yes, Debbie, but if you really want to go, you need to lay on the floor in front of the threshold so you'll hear his knock Friday night. Get dressed, lay on the floor, or you will miss that date. Now, let me tell you, when you're dating somebody for a relationship, you want to be with them. You go to extraordinary measures to be with them. Why? Because you're anticipating the time together. We need to date God like that. Anticipate in the morning. I hate mornings, God, but I love you. And I want to get up 5 minutes earlier than I did yesterday. And I want to spend those times in your arms talking to you and replacing the broken love receptors in my life. You deserve it. I love you. I want that time with you. Let's set a date. And you know what? If I had slept in, if I hadn't done exactly what my roommate said and been dressed laying there by the door, and I had overslept and he left that morning, what would I have done? Gone, oh, well, missed that. Too bad. No. Next time I saw him, I would have apologized and said, I really did want to go. I didn't really stand you up. I would have said, how about noon? I'm good by noon. Let's set a noon date. So if you're not a morning person, just make sure before you lay your head on the pillow to sleep that you've spent time during the day with him. Set aside a time. Second, adore him. We're created for this. We're created to love and be loved. Adore him. It starts out with praise. Good morning, Lord. Well, actually, morning's not good, but you are. And we also, the second thing is we want to check for onion breath. What do I mean? That next word, that bad word right there, confession. You see, we are broken. We try to tell people, and God, we're not, but we are. And there are things we do to make things worse. We disobey. My daughter loved to sit beside her grandfather, and we went to a restaurant one time, and she was eating, and he liked onions. He just ate them whole. And she reached off, and because granddaddy was doing it, she did it. So she ate some onions, and she was this cutest little fluffy girl, and she had little Michelin tire boy legs, and she was just so cute. And I loved to take her little cheeks and just go, oh, you're so cute, and smell her little baby smell. I just loved it. So as soon as we got through at the restaurant, I got her, and I carried her, and I put her. I thought there was a little something up. But anyway, I took her, and I put her in her car seat and plugged her in, and I sat down beside her and plugged myself in. And she goes, Mom. And I went, ah. Now, was that because I didn't love her anymore? No, there was something keeping the sweet aroma of our relationship from happening. She needed to brush her teeth. She needed a Listerine, too. Do you know our hearts need that sometimes? We've sinned, and we're before holy God to spend time with him, and we can't understand him because our hearts are dirty. So we ask him to forgive us. And 1 John 1:9 says he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? You know, I heard one time somebody say it isn't that he can't remember, it's he chooses to forget. Psalms 103 says, as far as the east is from the west. Do you know north and south will meet at a certain point, but east and west won't ever meet? And Psalms 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. If we are in Christ, and then furthermore, if we've sinned, if we confess those sins, that's the kind of God we adore. The next one, trust his word. Now, how are you going to trust something? How are you going to trust something you never read? How are you going to trust his word when you don't know what it is? I went through this time where I felt like I was being treated by God the way I was treated by others. And I felt like God would go, Debbie, couldn't you have done better than that? I expected more of you. You know, the old hands on the hip thing. But you know what I found out in Psalms 103? He doesn't expect more from me than I can do, because he says clearly in Psalms 103 that he knows my frame, that I'm just dust. Well, what do you expect of dust? Nothing. You'd like it not to be there, but it is. He likes us to be there, but he doesn't have those expectations. We have to be in his word to know, because our love receptors are broken. Next to the last one, we want to express love to him. Express your love to him. Go through the Psalms. Use them to talk back to him. Take a psalm a day. If you're starting new and today is the 10th, start Psalm 10 before you go to bed tonight and spend time with him, telling him. Another thing I like to do is I like to journal or write love notes to him. Sometimes we find them hard to understand and hard to read. But when we do that, if we have a low time in our walk with him where we feel like nothing's happening, we can go back through our journal and he can show us places where we have chosen to walk in righteousness and display his worthy reflection. The last one I like best, stay connected. You know, text him during the day spiritually. Let him know you're there. Ask him about things. When you don't know what to do, ask him, what do I do about this? We're going to give an example of that after lunch, of how I was really caught between a hard place and a rock and my understanding, and I asked God, well, what in the world am I supposed to do? This wasn't that hard for God. And I want to challenge you. When Bill asked for my hand in marriage, what if he had come to me and said, Debbie, I love you with all my heart, and I want to marry you and make you my bride and let you be my princess. And I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to understand you and love you and care for you like a man has never cared for a woman before for 364 days of every year. Will you marry me? Why are you giggling? I was desperate. No. He was godly. What if he had said that, what would your question be? First of all, I'm not good at math, so I would have gone 364. Well, that doesn't sound right. I don't know. Is there 365 days in a year? And what would your question be? What about the other day? What if he had said, that? Well, that's nothing. I just want 24 hours for myself. I just want to do what I want to do. Like whatever I want to do with whoever I want to do it with. Like go to a class reunion, maybe just once a year, go to the class reunion, meet up with some of the other people we used to hang out with and some of the other girls particularly and spend some time with them. But I will be back in our bedroom 24 hours later, faithful to you for 364. Will you marry me? I love you. I love you. I love you. Will you marry me? What would I have said? That's not love. I'm not that desperate. That's not love. We do that with God. We say, I love you, but this and this and this you can't have. But otherwise, everything else you can have. When I found out that I was doing that in some areas, I began saying, I don't love you enough in this area. Will you move the boundary? Will you help my heart turn loose? And that's what he begins to do so that we can reflect Christ. It takes a commitment. We need to date him daily, adore him, trust his word, express our love for him, and stay connected. And it takes 31 days to form a habit. I want to challenge you. Will you today start the first day of 31 days falling in love with him? Because I believe that if you start today with Psalm 10, and spend 5 minutes doing those five things, that every day for the next 31 days. Now, if you mess up on day 29, it has to be started over with one. And if you get a girlfriend with you, it works a lot better because you know she's going to be asking you. But if you spend 31 consecutive days with him, I guarantee you will want 31 more, 31 weeks, 31 months, 31 years. Spending time alone with him, because it'll give him a chance to tell you in all those broken places that you are cherished and loved and cared for like you cannot possibly imagine. But you won't know unless you answer your mail. You've got mail. You have to turn on the computer and collect your mail. This is where you do it, his love letters to you. Let's pray. While you've got your heads bowed, I just want you to listen to this as you're thinking about this commitment. And I'm going to ask you at the end of this prayer to tell God if you're making the 31-day commitment. Listen carefully. I just had to write to tell you how much I love you and care for you. Yesterday, I saw you walking with your friends. I hoped that soon you'd want me to walk right along with you, too. So I painted you a sunset to close your day and whispered a cool breeze to refresh you. I waited. You never called. But I just kept on loving you. As I watched you fall asleep last night, I wanted so much to touch you. I spilled moonlight onto your face, trickling down your cheeks as so many tears have. You didn't even think of me. I wanted so much to comfort you. The next day, I exploded a brilliant sunrise and a glorious morning for you, but you woke up late and rushed off to work. You didn't even notice. My sky became cloudy and my tears were the rain. I love you. Oh, if you'd only listen, I really love you. I try to say it in the quiet of the green meadow and in the blue sky. The wind whispers my love throughout the treetops and spills it into the vibrant colors of all the flowers. I shout it to you in the thunder of great waterfalls, and I compose love songs for birds to sing to you. I warm you with the clothing of my sunshine and perfume the air with nature's sweet scent. My love for you is deeper than any ocean and greater than any need in your heart. If you'd only realize how much I care. My dad sends his love. I want you to meet him one day. He cares too. Fathers are just that way. So please call on me soon. No matter how long it takes, I'll wait. Because I love you. I am love. Your friend, Jesus. God, we need you. Jesus, we need a relationship with you that wakes up every morning to hear your heartbeat for us. Help us to make that commitment to follow you faithfully. In your name we pray. Amen.